Clothes in our climate-controlled storage, and even clean quilts and bedspreads to keep them looking new.
Come see us at 314 Libby Avenue and let us show you how we can keep you clean, pressed, and looking your best at West Hampton Cleaners.
The only way to get closer to the Cavaliers is to make the team. It's Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobbo Hobgood on Fox Sports 910.
All right, welcome back. Second half hour tonight, Hobbo and Frank, and we are joined now by maybe one of the, he's a 2000 graduate of the university, 10th year as the wrestling coach at Virginia. His enthusiasm is contagious. He's got the passion. I think I'm going to send him into the Virginia basketball locker room tomorrow night to get these guys fired up, because we've talked about a little lack of passion and urgency among the basketball players the last couple of games. So, at any rate, Frank's got a couple other tidbits about Steve Garland's record at Virginia as the wrestling coach.
First off, we are delighted to have Steve back on the show. I think he's been on Who's Talking every single winter that we've been on the air, I believe. I think really, you've got to remember two things here. Last year, the Cavalier wrestling team won the ACC championship, and they were not expected to do it. He won it a few years prior to that as well, so that was his second ACC title. And then this past year, he brought in the number 5 ranked recruiting class in the country. Just got to tip my hat to Coach Garland. Steve, welcome to Who's Talking tonight.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks so much, and I really appreciate the kind words, guys. I mean, gee, that's really overly nice. You give me too much credit, and I wish I could be half the man Tony Bennett is. So I don't think they need me in that locker room.
Oh, yeah, they do. Listen, I'm all over Tony right now. We need some intensity, and I know you get those guys, get those grapplers fired up to go out on the mat like you did this past week against VMI.
Yeah, Steve could probably get those Virginia basketball players to get down after those loose balls when it's on the floor. You know,
yeah.
Get down there and wrestle for that ball.
And maybe teach the big men how to box out and get a rebound
there
for a change.
Yeah.
Steve, tell us a little bit about this year's team. I know you've got some young stars that are about to make a name for themselves, and you got a couple of veterans as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting mix. I mean, it's definitely been a really tough year for us. We've had the toughest schedule we've ever put together. We wrestled 6 dual meets right in a row to start the year, and 4 of those 6 teams were nationally ranked, including the returning national champions. So we went right into the fire. We learned a lot last year through the tough schedule we had, and we even ramped it up another notch this year. And so we're led by George DiCamillo, who's was ranked 4th in the country, I believe, in the latest ranking. He's ranked 7th. He's just everything you want in a student athlete, and he's our leader. And he's looking to be a national champ this year, we hope. And then we've got Zach Nye, who's a 5th year getting a master's degree in higher education. He got a 3.6 GPA last semester. He just took 5th at the Southern Scuffle, which is the toughest tournament in the United States of America for our sport. And so he's another leader on our team. So we're led by those two guys at the top. And then we've got young guys like Andrew Atkinson. And you mentioned the recruiting class. Part of that, the big anchor of that recruiting class was Fox Baldwin, who was the winningest wrestler in high school history. And so he's been thrown into this fire that I mentioned. And so we've got a lot of guys like that as well. And so, yeah, it's been an up and down year, but it's been really exciting to take on the teams we have. And we got the good news is we got a long way to go. We've got a whole second half of the season coming up.
Coach, real quick, you won the ACC title last year. Who are the primary competitors this year that might be your toughest competition to keep you from repeating?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the ACC conference is incredible this year. I mean, right off the bat, you got NC State's ranked 3rd in the country. They have the number 1 ranked wrestler in America at heavyweight. Then right behind them at 5th in the country is Virginia Tech. Then you have North Carolina Chapel Hill, who's ranked 10th or 11th. We're ranked 15th or 16th. And then Pitt's right behind us. So, and Duke's got some phenomenal wrestlers this year. So literally every single dual meet in our conference is going to be a war. So I think honestly, after what happened last year, guys, I would say everybody's a candidate to win it. I mean, we went in there, nobody expected us to do anything, and we went in there and just fought our tails off, and praise God, we walked out of there with a trophy. So I think going in there this year, it's at our place in Charlottesville. I think it's going to be incredible to see that competition.
Coach, talk to us a little bit about the wrestling match that took place at St. Christopher's last week against VMI, and how that Rumble on the River, or it's got some kind of interesting name like that, how that originated and why is it so popular? Because I know it's packed every time y'all come down here to wrestle.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it was awesome. It was, gosh, the atmosphere was electric. It was, there literally wasn't a seat in that gym. I mean, it was completely packed, hotter than heck in there. I mean, people going nuts. I think it's one of the only competitions I could think of where I looked over and my daughter was like 6 inches from me in the stands. I mean, it was just packed in there. But how it came about, we used to do the Rumble on the River with Virginia Tech, and we were amazed at the crowds. And I'll just be totally blunt. The Tech and I both said, well, geez, we need to get these crowds at our place. We need to build our brand. We need to build our home atmosphere. We need to build our programs. And at the time, Kevin Dresser and I were just starting out in this as head coaches together in college. And so we took it back to our places, and they have been. They've been amazing matches at our own institutions. And then this year, Ross Yotomer, who's the St. Chris head coach, who wrestled for me, he's now a teacher and educator there, and he's just one of my all-time favorite guys that I've ever coached. And we got together, communicated about maybe coming back to it. He said, well, why don't we do it with VMI? I think they'll do it. Called them. VMI was all in, and that's all it took. Next thing you know, we were at St. Chris, and really happy and thankful they let us do it this year.
Well, I think it's great. It's probably a real shot in the arm for wrestling in the community as well. So I applaud you and the coach at VMI. All right, this year, I know I saw it on the schedule earlier, and it's just flown right past me, thanks to my cold medicine. But the Wahoos have to travel where for the ACC tournament this year?
We're hosting it.
Oh, good.
We're hosting the ACC championship at the John Paul Jones Arena, and which is, you know, one of the most beautiful arenas, as you guys know, in the country. And for wrestling, they set it up really nice. We hosted it in 2011. And now we've got it back on the rotation.
What are the dates for that, Coach?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I'll be honest with you. I can't even think of it.
Well, that's right. You're a coach. The only thing you're worried about is this next match. Yeah, that's a good coach right there.
I'm worried about NC State Sunday, yeah.
We'll look up the dates and get it for you. Just a quick question. I know one thing you're really proud of is the academic performance of your team. What do you attribute that to? Maybe the discipline that it takes to be a quality wrestler at the Division I level?
And hold on. Well, before you jump into that, Steve.
Yeah.
When I was at Virginia, I knew a bunch of the wrestlers, and they were not the top student athletes that you've got. And they were great guys,
yeah.
Great guys, and they were loyal to a fault. And I love them like brothers. But they were a little crazy, and they were always very entertaining. But student athletes, maybe not. But how have you been able to build this culture of high academic standards?
Well, thanks, guys, for bringing that up. It is something I'm most proud of. We had 20 guys on honor roll this semester, and I'm really, really proud of that. To be honest with you, our goal was higher, but I think I'm still okay with 20. And how it happens, it's a process. It's a culture thing. It's never giving up on making sure that you communicate clearly the expectations, that you constantly provide support and encouragement, and you constantly provide accountability that this stuff does matter, and it's for a bigger purpose than just the team GPA. And so what I'll credit it to is recruiting, and I also credit it to the support system we have at UVA. The support system in terms of academic affairs, the mentors, tutors, academic advisors. I mean, gosh, the head of the academic affairs department, Adrian, was in my office today talking about a kid, and he just came over and was trying to help me with something. I mean, that's pretty amazing that with everything going on, he came over to meet with me about one individual athlete. So I would say that our guys and every student athlete at the University of Virginia has every available resource to help them succeed. And look, we have problems like any other team. We always have, some guys that don't do everything we ask. And the key is just to keep making sure that you emphasize that this is who we want to be as a program and never let off the gas.
Coach, by the way, it's March the 6th, ACC Championships in Charlottesville. So for the benefit of our listeners who might want to start making plans, because I'm sure that will be a heck of an event at JPJ, as you mentioned. And it looks like you got NC State on the road, Duke in Charlottesville on the 22nd of January. Then you got Virginia Tech in Charlottesville on the 31st of January.
Yep.
North Carolina on February 6th and Chattanooga on the 14th of February. So you got four home matches coming up along with the road trip to Pittsburgh and NC State this weekend. So you got a lot on your plate.
Yes, I do. Thanks, guys, so much for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, we've always enjoyed having you on, and we wish you the best this year. We'll stay in touch, and we'll be pulling for you, and you know that.
Thanks so much, guys. Go Hoos.
All right. Have a great night, Steve Garland. All right. We got a few more minutes here before we go to our next break. How about let's talk about the basketball team. Virginia has slipped in the polls after climbing and climbing and climbing all the way up to number four last week.
Frankly, I'm surprised they didn't slip farther than they did.
I go back to the previous body of work, much like Dave Glenn talked about. Virginia has quality wins against 14-1 West Virginia. Virginia is the only team to beat West Virginia. Virginia has also beaten
Villanova.
Villanova,
I think, has only lost twice.
Villanova is sixth in the AP poll.
And I think Villanova's other loss other than us is Oklahoma, which is right. Obviously one of the top teams in the country.
Not too shabby.
Virginia just didn't play very well last week. So I think the poll, the voters must not have seen the games, but that's fine. I mean, you can have a bad week. You know, I think back to the Tennessee game, a couple of years ago where they just absolutely got blown out and were terrible. And they pulled it back together and, you know, obviously finished that season with an ACC championship.
So. All right, before we forget to do it, the LeClaire Ryan play of the game. You know, I'm going to pivot. We had chosen one play, and I think we're going to punt that. We're going to go with the women's basketball team made a surprising comeback on the road this past Sunday when they defeated the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, and they outscored the Deacons 10-3 in the fourth quarter down the final stretch. And junior forward Brianna Mason from Woodbridge, Virginia, made two big free throws with 16 seconds left. And I'm giving her the award this week because I saw her and her teammates play Thursday night in Charlottesville in JPJ, and they played an okay first half against number 3 ranked Notre Dame. But then they got squashed in the second half. And, I can understand how they might have lost their confidence after the game. They had a bigger loss, though, than just the scoreboard. Faith Randolph, Virginia's number 2 scorer, number 2 rebounder, and team leader in assists, got hurt in that game with a broken finger. So I don't know what Coach Boyle is going to do to overcome that injury, Abo.
Well, hopefully, as you say, they got the win on the road over Wake Forest yesterday. So I think they're, 11-5 now, something like that. I can't remember. Got a couple of
wins. Wahoos are 12-5, 2-1 in the ACC.
Yeah. And your runner-up for player or play of the game was Mariel Shayok.
Yep.
Making a 3-point basket to tie the game with about 6 minutes to go down in Atlanta. And I think the disappointing aspect of that is I think Georgia Tech went on an 11-0 run after that. And that's what seems to be missing because, you know, Virginia in past years, teams would have sensed that, hey, we got the momentum. Now's the time we desperately need to get a stop. And instead of a stop, Georgia Tech went on a run, so that's...
Yeah, but you know what the difference was this past week, and what is so strange, Virginia has played such lackluster, disconnected, disconcertingly pitiful first halves that they've had to fight to get back into games, and it takes so much energy to fight back.
Right. That happens a lot.
And you know what?
You battle back, but
Tony Bennett's teams have historically been excellent front runners. They're good free throw shooters. They're good ball handlers. They control the tempo beautifully.
Well, that's the other thing at Georgia Tech. We missed a lot of free throws. We were 14 of 22. I thought it might have even been worse than that. But still, some key misses from the free throw line,
but
even
trailing,
the front end of one-on-ones.
But trailing and too many turnovers, too many fouls.
Well, you just can't, particularly on the road, you can't dig a big hole like that. They were down 15, I think, which was the largest deficit they've had all year. Sometimes if you get behind at home, you got the crowd to bring you back. But on the road, it makes it really tough.
All right, we're going to jump to break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to handicap tomorrow night's game against number, 5, Miami? I think they've climbed that high.
Not quite that high, but 8 or 9.
Number 8 or 9, Miami. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.